We're in the Congressional Corner with my very good friend Paul Tunko, who we affectionately refer to as the Tunk, Democrat of New York's 20th district. He's been in office since 2009. And Paul, I guess the thing that we really want to talk to you about is the coronavirus, because nobody's talking about anything else. From your congressional perch, what are you seeing?
Well, I know that there are some individuals in the counties that I represent who have been diagnosed as positive. So, you know, this is a serious public health threat, and especially to our most vulnerable communities. And certainly it's incumbent on all of us to make sacrifices in order to keep everyone safe. And I'm hearing that many people understand that. You know, there's huge demands made on us, but I would just encourage that everyone to heed the advice of the CDC and state and local health officials, and, you know, treat this outbreak with the seriousness that it demands.
Paul Tunko, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime experience?
No, not in the time that I've been in office, including in my 25 years in the state assembly. This is, you know, a serious health situation, and it's universal, as we all know. It's an international scope that's affected. So I think it's important for us to do all that we can to address the outbreak of the virus. The very first action we took as a House and as Congress in general was including an $8.3 billion funding package. And then just this past Saturday, we passed the Family First Act, which I hope the Senate will approve when it returns this week to session. And I anticipate that we will quickly pass a broader economy-wide stimulus measure when we return to D.C., because there are still aspects of impact here that need to be addressed.
What can we do to goose the economy, as you just suggest?
Well, I think there's a number of things that are important. That's including making certain that with the family bill that we did, the Families First bill, we need to make certain that that we continue to do a coordinated effort that allows us to keep the economy afloat by addressing sick leave in that Response Act. We believe that some 87 million U.S. workers will be covered, according to the analysis that the Education and Labor Committee made. Many of these workers currently have no paid leave, Alan, and are being forced to choose between their paycheck, their health, and the health of people around them. So I think a critical step here is to provide for the financial security and as we mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. So receiving full pay for the 2 weeks that they may have to be out while they're somewhat quarantined, provides that 80 hours worth of pay, that full pay for missed work that is related to the coronavirus. I think that's incredibly important as we stabilize our families. And then also making certain that unemployment measures that come with that Families First legislation will provide the resources and flexibility to provide unemployment benefits to laid off and furloughed workers, because we're seeing that also in the district and across the state. So those who exhaust their allotted paid leave or those who are furloughed or laid off will have the further benefits of unemployment insurance. So I think that's important. I know that when I made mention of the 87 million U.S. workers, we would have loved to cover all. There's about 5% of workers anticipated not to be covered, and that was because in negotiating with the White House, they wanted those employers of 500 or more to be skipped in that process. So that it creates some weakness in the legislation. But all in all, it speaks to a great majority of workers.
So there'll be people who want to know, I not really one of them, but I speak for them in this case, and ask you this question. Where's all the money for this coming from?
Well, you know, the payment mechanisms will be determined. As we go forward, we will have to look at ways to cover all of this. Obviously, it may be revisiting some of the programs like the tax cut that was done, but obviously these are things that have to be done immediately. And so the urgency of the situation drove the negotiations, and the coverage that we're offering was negotiated, and the payment systems will come as we continue to do business.
So should the Congress be closed down like everything else is being closed down?
Well, we had this work period this week dedicated on our calendar at the start of the year for district work period. What happens as we go forward certainly is subject to the call of leadership, but with the response of the nation to move forward aggressively in closing down businesses, continuing to reduce the amount of individuals gathered that are the threshold for avoiding those situations. It started at 500. Now we're down to 50. Some states have imposed a 25 people threshold. So everything is in flux, and it's hard to say whether or not we'll return. I know the Senate is returning this week because they were to be in recess this week also, but they had not concluded business on the Family First Coronavirus Response Act.
How do you think, we got 2 minutes, but how do you think President Trump is doing? What grade would he give?
Well, I think we got off to a terrible start. There were mixed messages. Scientists at the federal level, like Dr. Fauci, were sharing one message based on relevance, science, data that are collected. And the president was seeming to shoot from the hip. I think that confusion in the beginning, where you downplayed the urgency and the impact, the importance of it, was very consequential. But then as pressure began to build, then he began to understand that perhaps we should rely on the scientists here. I'm still concerned about mixed messaging and not punting to the scientists in this case. We have some of the best experts in the world in the Center for Disease Control, in the National Institutes of Health. We should rely on this talent, on this intellect, especially in a pandemic as we're facing. And I would hope that he would encourage us to have communication with other nations' scientific talent and intellect so that we can resolve this as effectively as possible.
I only got a minute, but I assume you saw the report. You got Angela Merkel in Germany really furious that he offered $1 billion, but they would have to not share what their lab was coming up with in terms of a panacea. What do you think of that?
I think certainly whatever information we can share here, country to country, is absolutely critical. It's important. And, you know, a number of these missteps, not informing our allies about the travel ban before it's announced, a number of things where internationally we're not connecting with allies and other nations to do the best thing. To do the most thorough approach. So, you know, we're learning as we go. I think the administration, again, has dropped the ball in many situations. And, you know, having dealt with them on climate, on the climate issue, and seeing how they reject science, it is not a surprise to me, but it's of great concern to me that we're not appreciating this crisis through the science lens that we ought to.
Congressman Paul Tonko, who we refer to only affectionately as the Tonk, Democrat of New York's 20th District. He's been in office since 2009, and we have incredible and great respect for him. Thank you, Paul, for being with us.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to join you.